You're now listening to the A Place of Refuge Productive Living Podcast with Bishop Barry D. Walker. A Place of Refuge vision is to cause people to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. For more information, please stop by our website at www.aplaceofrefugechurch.org. Now, here's today's message already in progress.
God can be trusted. But in order to fully grasp that, it's important to understand some meanings of trust. The root meaning of trust is to be solid. It says to a saint of God that he or she must be fixed, rooted, or set in God. It's actually an allusion to what Paul said to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, told them in part that they needed to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that their labor is not in vain. And I like how he ended it, saying that their labor is not in vain, because if you don't trust God, sometimes you may feel as if your reward is not going to come to pass. There are times to where you work and work and work and you be looking for something to take place, but it does not manifest on your timetable. That does not mean God is not going to do it, because God fulfills his promises. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, all of the promises of God in him are yes and amen. God is going to do it. It just requires us to continue trusting him. The Hebrew writer said that we are not to cast away our confidence, which has great recompense of reward. We have to be patient. We have to be expectant. We have to be hopeful when it comes to believing that God is going to do everything that he said. But we also have to consider trust from an Old Testament standpoint in reference to the word yakal. It has to do with a person, first of all, being patient in reference to God. If I am a patient person, it says about me that I'm not going to complain about my trouble. I'm not going to complain about the battles that I'm going through, because I have the understanding that trouble is not going to last always. I may be being afflicted in my body, but that's not going to last. For Psalms 34 and 19 tells me that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord is going to bring me out of every single one. I have to trust God based upon his word. But your call also has to do with hoping in God. People that trust God have hope in him. Now, in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter and the 24th and 25th verse, it talks about hope being in the realm of the unseen. But it also refers to hope as that which saves. And when you hope in God, you know that your hope is not in vain, because God will save you. God, I wish I had some more help. I said, God will save you. Many of us, we would still be on the bottle if God had not saved us. Many of us would still be living in poverty if God had not saved us. Many of us would be wondering how in the world we're going to come out of a particular predicament if God had not saved us. Look at somebody and say, you don't have to get happy, but God saved me and I can't help but to be happy. How many are still happy because God saved you? You're still happy because you're no longer dependent on the bottle. You're no longer dependent on the needle. You're no longer dependent on the white powder. You're no longer dependent on oxy. You're no longer dependent on whatever you were wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in. Say to your neighbor, he delivered me. You can be mouse quiet if you want, but he delivered me. I got to praise him. You can act like he ain't done nothing for you, but I got to turn in victory because he brought me out. Y'all gonna make me go back to the country. Can't nobody but nobody but nobody but nobody do you like Jesus. I have to hope in his salvation. I have to hope in his salvation because I have learned that I cannot depend on the job. Thank God for the paycheck that they give me, but I cannot depend on that because it will only go so far. Thank God for mama. Thank God for daddy. Thank God for family. Thank God for the brothers and sisters in the church. But I cannot fully depend on anybody but God. Because it's sad, but even my own kinfolk have let me down. Am I talking right? Even folk in the house of God have let me down. But ain't nobody but nobody let me down. Nobody but nobody has stood up for me like God has stood up for me. Say to your neighbor, God will stand for you. God will allow you to almost fall, but he'll pick you up before you hit the ground. Am I talking right? And so I have to trust God. I have to realize that God can be trusted. And I could give you a number of reasons why you can trust God. But I only want to deal with three reasons why God can be trusted, or four reasons why God can be trusted. The first is because of who God is not. God is not a liar. Oh, Lord, I said God is not a liar. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 6 and 18 that it is impossible for God to lie. It's not in his nature. It's not in his makeup. It's not a part of his itinerary. God cannot lie. Moses went so far as to say in Numbers 23 and 19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has not he said it, and he will bring the thing to pass. Shout at somebody, God can't lie. That means if he tells you something, he's going to back it up. If he tells you something, you don't have to wonder if it's going to happen. It will come to pass. He will manifest it because he honors his spoken word. He honors his spoken word whether he speaks it directly or indirectly. When God speaks a word through your pastor, you don't have to wonder whether or not God is going to back up the man of God. It was God that put his word in the man of God to begin with. God honored his pastor. That's the reason he told us in scripture that he wasn't going to do one single thing except he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophet. That's the reason he said in 2 Chronicles 20 and 20 that if you believe his prophets, you're going to prosper. Say to your neighbor that you need to trust your man of God because God is backing him. And God has said that he's going to honor him. That's the reason I love to come to a true house. That's the reason I love to listen to a man of God that seeks the face of God day in and day out. Because I know when that word of God comes forth, it has God's backing. That God is going to make sure that once that word is released from the man or woman of God's mouth, that it's not going to return unto him void, but it's going to do everything that God ordained for it to do. Again, my first point, God is not a liar. I'm so glad that he will not say this, that, and the other and not back it up. Are you glad about it? The second thing that is that God is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's according to John 14 and 6. He is the way that says about God that he will give you direction. God so wants his children to have direction or to go down the right path to where, according to John 16 and 13, he made sure that we would have the Holy Spirit embedded on the inside of us in order to guide us not just into some truth, but into all truth. If you have the Holy Spirit and you go down the wrong path, it ain't nobody's fault but yours. If God tells you he's going to bless you and the Spirit of God tries to lead you into the blessings, but you reject the Spirit of God, it ain't nobody's fault but yours. I have found out that if you follow the Holy Spirit, he will give you right direction. He will lead you down a path that will lead to the bliss of God, that will lead to the bounty of God. I have found out that if you obey the Spirit of God, that God will cause the good measure, the press down, the shaken together, and the running over to come forth in your life. Look at your neighbor real good, because your neighbor used to be down and out, but because he or she followed the Spirit of the living God, God brought them up. God caused them to live above only and not beneath. Am I talking about you? If I am, you ought to high five three folks and tell them he's talking about me. God is the way, the truth, and the life. And when it comes to life, God is not just a person that wants his children to have normal life. In the book of John 10:10, he said, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Say to somebody, God wants you to live in the overflow. Wants you to have more than enough. Wants you to have enough for folks that you know and folks you may not know, but you just feel like being a blessing to them. God wants you to live abundantly. God wants you to be able to drive what you desire, live in what you desire, go where you desire. That's what God wants you to have. How many believe that? He is the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. God, thirdly, is the owner of everything. Consider Psalm 24 and 1. It says, the earth is the Lord and his fullness. And then he breaks it down. He first says, the world. Talking about tangible things. God can give you a piece of money, a piece of land. God can bless you with something that somebody else is in right now. God told Israel, I'm going to bless you with some land. He didn't tell them somebody was already in it initially. God owns the world. Tangible things. That's the reason you can never accept what a man says versus what God says. God tells you to go and get the thing. When you get there, the man says to you, you're not able to get it. You're not qualified to possess it. You have to make up in your mind whose report you're going to believe. You have to make up in your mind if you're going to stand on what God told you or you're going to accept what somebody said. I love Pastor Jackson's testimony when he talks about how the person that he presently stays beside, who was the vice president of the bank, told him that he wasn't qualified to get the house that was next door to him. Long story short, he in the house right now. Say to your neighbor, can't nobody do you like Jesus. Shout it at somebody else, can't nobody do you like Jesus. He owns everything. If God says he's going to bless you with some money, I don't care how many folk turn you down. God owns everything. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. Proverbs 21 and 1 says, the heart of the king is in the hand of God. And like the river of waters, he turns it. God can change a person's heart. Pharaoh's heart was hardened by God. Why? Because God is omnipotent. He has the power to change a heart. He has a power to cause a person to do what they would normally do. Some of us are in a house right now. We are not in that house because we were qualified for the house, but because God stepped in and he changed the heart of the person. Am I talking about you? He owns everything. And the final thing, God is good. Remember the old song, God is good all the time. And all the time God is. God expresses his goodness through acts of grace, mercy, by meeting needs, by manifesting his favor, and through other acts. God is good. James so knew about the goodness of God until in the book of James, the first chapter and the 17th verse, he said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It's from God. That means every good thing that ever happened in your life, God had a part of it. God's hand was in it. That means everything that's going to happen to you before the week is out, God going to have a hand in it. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. If it's beneficial, if it's a blessing to you, God had a hand in it. God has a hand in trials, which we don't like as humans. But when you consider the scripture, even trials are good for us. One writer said, it was good that I was afflicted, so I might learn some stuff. How many learn from your trials? You learn from things that you go through. Things that may not be good to the flesh or feel good to the flesh, but you still learn from them. Even Jesus himself as a human, according to the Hebrew writer, learned things through his suffering. So God will give you a good gift, whether it's in the form of a trial or whether it's in the form of a home. But when he does so, you have to recognize that God is the giver of goodness. Don't ever think God does not want you to have this, that, and the other. Don't ever think that God does not want to bless you. He wants to bless you. He wants to move on your behalf. Often when you go through trials and tribulations, the situation will say to you, or demons will say to you, that God does not want you to have it. But let me say to you, everything that God promised you in his word and everything that God has been speaking to you in reference to what he told your pastor to say, God wants it to manifest in your life. He wants you to have good things. Matter of fact, let's just practice that on somebody. Tell somebody, God wants me to have good things. God wants me to have money. God ain't happy because I'm broke all the time. God ain't happy because I don't have a nice car to go here, there, and other places with. God wants me to have good things. But he has to take you down a hard road so that when he does bless you with some good things, you're going to appreciate them. You're going to take care of them as well as give him the glory, honor, and praise for blessing you with them. And see, when it comes to the goodness of God, you can taste God's goodness. And you can see God's goodness. David said in Psalm 34 and 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." When you taste God's goodness, it says that you first experience it. Some of us can remember the first time we ever experienced going anywhere. It was after the alcohol. It was after the midnight rambling. It was when God cleaned us up. And you were able to experience the benefits of God. Some of us never thought we would be staying where we're staying right now. But God said, "I want to give you a taste of what it is to live the good life. I want to give you a taste of what it is to stay in a nice place." I said to saints one time, "I'm tired of going on vacation and the hotel I'm staying in is nicer than my house." I said, "That's got to change. It just don't make no sense. I'm going on vacation and I'm enjoying the room so much to where I want to stay there instead of go back home because the room is nicer than my house." I said, "God, you got to move for me." You know what God say? "Okay, walk. I'll move for you because you've been faithful." Say to your neighbor, when you've been faithful, you can ask God for some stuff. You may not be making a whole lot of money, but if you are faithful, God will do some things for you. When God blessed me with a nice house, I wasn't making a whole lot of money, but I was faithful. I was trusting him. Long story short, he blessed me with the house. And now, thank God, I can go away and enjoy a nice room. But when I get back to the house, I say out of my mouth, "Thank God he allowed me to go, but it ain't no place like home. Ain't no place like home. My TV bigger than the TV that was in the room. I got a suite just like I had a suite at the hotel. Oh Lord, I gotta go back to the country. Tell somebody, can't nobody but nobody but nobody but nobody but nobody but nobody do you like Jesus." Some of y'all ain't receiving this. Say it to somebody else. Can't nobody but nobody but nobody but nobody but nobody but nobody do your life. Listen to this. When you taste again, the first thing you do is experience. But the second thing is that you enjoy it. God does not just want you to experience something. He wants you to enjoy it. He didn't just want Israel to go into the land of promise just to experience what it is to live other than being a slave. He wanted them to enjoy the land of promise. See, I don't want to work and not enjoy my work. Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't want to get up and go to work and not enjoy my work. That ain't God. God wants you to enjoy what you do. I don't want to sit down at the table and eat a meal and not enjoy the meal. I want to be able to sit down and pull myself up to the table, put my napkin right, and I want to get into whatever I'm eating and I want to enjoy it. When I put on something, I want to enjoy wearing it. When I put something on my back, I want to enjoy. When I put something on my feet, I want to enjoy. When I put something on my hand, I want to enjoy. Am I talking about you? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Look at three folks and tell them, I know the Lord is good. And some folk don't like to hear teaching like this, but teaching like this needs to be taught because folks need to understand what God said. He said, I am come that you might have and have it more. And so I taste and I see that the Lord is good. But then when it comes to Psalm 31 and 19, the psalmist took it to another level. Because the psalmist talked about the goodness of God being great. His goodness is great. Great. Say your neighbor, his goodness is great. Three things you need to understand about God's goodness being great. The first thing, it says that God's goodness is sufficient to supply every need in your life. And it's amazing how you can move God to supply every need in your life. Get this, through your giving. The church of Philippi gave to their shepherd. And then the Apostle Paul turned around and told them, my God, or prophesied to them, my God shall supply a couple of your needs. He's going to supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Say to your neighbor, that ain't nothing but God's great goodness. Do you hear me? All of your needs. If you've got three, that means all three. If you got 10, all 10. I mean, every need. God, I got a need to go on vacation for a week. Lord, I got a need for $700 to get this piece of luggage. When you understand that God wants to supply your needs, it should move you to give. Remember what I said? Because of their giving, Paul decreed that God would supply all of their needs. He would cause great goodness to manifest in their life. God's great goodness also is that which is sufficient despite our weaknesses. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul talked about being attacked by an enemy. God responded to him in part by letting him know that, look, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Bottom line, God does not let your inabilities stop him from doing what he desires to do in your life. You may not have the money to do it, but God will make sure it's put in your hand so you can take care of it. Don't ever allow what you can't do to determine what you can have. I can have what I can't naturally afford because it's not based upon what I can do because of the relationship I have with my God. It's based upon what he said. He said he would supply needs. He said he would give me my heart's desire. So despite my weakness, despite my inability, despite what I can't do, I have the understanding that it will come to pass because of my God. When God told Paul that, it was such a revelation to him that he couldn't keep it to himself. Therefore, in the book of Philippians 4 and 13, he penned, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And how many know God can give you the ability to do what you couldn't do on your own? I said he will give you the ability to do what you can't do on your own. Am I talking about you? And so when you understand the great goodness of God in reference to that, you won't limit yourself because of the relationship you have with him. You're not looking at the money in the bank because God tells you not to walk by that. He says to the child of God, walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, if you walk by faith, you're not allowing your senses, you're not allowing your sight to get in the way. Why? Because your sight is limited. Your sight is not permanent. The things that we see are temporary. They're not going to last. But the things that are eternal are the things that God has spoken, that God has promise in his word. And in the eternal realm of God lies his great goodness. That's the reason he can take a slave and make him into a king. Take a person that ain't never had a pot to twiddle in and bless him with a mansion. Don't try to act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Some of us remember the outhouses. Look how far God done brought you. Some of us remember hoping that we had anything in the refrigerator, anything in the cabinet to eat. But now when you go to your refrigerator, you have to decide what you want. Because on the top shelf, you got steak. On the second shelf, you got pork chop. And on the third shelf, you got cold cuts. So you have to make up in your mind what you want. But it ain't always been like that. It's just because of God's great goodness that it's like that right now. Lord, I better remind y'all of something. Say to somebody, don't forget where God done brought you from. Don't act like you done always been in the realm of blessings. Don't act like you done already, you done always had it the way you have it right now. Cause you can get so sedated to where you'll get quiet in Zion. You'll get quiet in the house of God and won't give him the hallelujahs that he deserves. Won't give him the turns in victory that he deserves. You better watch yourself. Because if you get too sedated, the same God that blessed you will take them away and drop them at Walker's house. Because there's one thing Walker gonna do. He gonna praise God. He gonna magnify God. He gonna let God know, not just on Sunday, not just in revival, but every single day, how thankful he is for his great goodness. Y'all say that. Listen to this. The final thing that we need to understand about God's great goodness is that God is a helper. Psalm 46 and 1 says in part that he is a very present help. Now it says in trouble, but I have found out that God is a very present help at all times. Y'all gonna help me? Preacher, somebody, God will help you. Some of y'all didn't say it bold enough. Let's try it one more time. God will help you. God will deal with a person's heart about giving you something. God will help you. God will help you with a headache. God will take away depression. You ever been depressed and asked God for help? Oh, you say you saved, you don't deal with depression. Yeah, every now and then, depression gonna come, at least to some of us. Quickest remedy, God, I ain't feeling right. And God understand country talk. I said, God understand country talk. You may not know how to say it quite right. All you have to do is just say it in your own words. God understands every type language. You may not even can quote the verse right, but all you got to do is say it and God will understand. Why? Because he is a helper. God will aid you. He will support you, not just spiritually, but in every aspect of your life. I remember saints that they used to so believe in God to help them to where they wouldn't go to the medicine cabinet when they started feeling a pain. They would ask God to help them. When somebody had told them they couldn't have certain things, they would go back to the prayer closet and get to praying, and God would cause them to receive what they prayed for. Say to your neighbor, God is still a helper. You know how come he's still a helper? He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. So God's great goodness is expressed in him supplying all of our needs. I mean, all of our needs. In him being sufficient despite our weaknesses and being a helper for us. But you have to consider the people that will receive this great goodness. This great goodness is not for everybody. I didn't hear nobody over here. I want to make sure everybody understand this. God's great goodness is not for everybody. Notice Psalm 31 and 19. The psalmist starts off talking about how great God's goodness is. But then he goes on to say that God's great goodness is laid up first for those who fear him. Then he says it's preserved for those who trust him. If I do not trust God, all my needs are not going to be supplied. I'm going to forever be struggling, living from it's been so long since I had to do it, but I'm going to have to go ahead and say it, from paycheck to paycheck. I didn't like it. I didn't like living from paycheck to paycheck. I didn't like having the mindset I can't wait to Friday. I didn't like that. I didn't like saying in reference to my knees, I ain't gonna be able to do nothing until I get my check. Well, I can't do nothing with my check this week, but maybe in 2 weeks, maybe next month, cause then I'm gonna be able to free up one of my checks and I'll be. See, Say to your neighbor, that ain't no abundant living. Now get this. God will allow you to live from paycheck to paycheck to see the need for you to have him in your life. But that's not what he wants you to have. He wants you to have, help me, abundant. He wants you to experience his great. But notice what the text says. You have to fear him. You have to trust him. You have to trust him. Now notice, breaking the text down, he has his great goodness laid up. It's right here. He has it reserved. But he's looking at me to see if I'm going to trust him. I got it for you, walk. I got it right here, walk. And I'm going to hold it for you, walk, if I see you going to trust me. I got it for you, Jackson. But I got to see that you're going to trust me no matter what you experience. I got to see that you're going to give me my money when you get paid before I release this to you. I've got to see if you're going to follow the pastor as the pastor follows me before I let it go. I've got to see if you're going to maintain good works before I let this great goodness come your way. Because if you're not in the place you need to be, when I drop it on you, you're going to mess it up. Say to your neighbor, God wants you to have the great goodness. He don't want you to live from no paycheck to paycheck. God does not want you struggling. God wants you to have life and have it more. I know I've been saying it again and again and again, but how many believe that? Make it personal then. Tell somebody, God wants me to have abundant life. Listen to this. And so in the book of 2 Chronicles 19 and 9, remember what I read earlier in reference to that. To that text, when you fear God, it says about you that you're going to be faithful and loyal in your heart. You're going to be faithful and loyal. You're going to make choices based upon God's word. Your mindset is going to be according to God's word. And according to the book of Psalm 34 and 22, when it comes to you trusting God, you acknowledge that you're his servant. You acknowledge that if you trust him, that he is not going to allow you to be condemned, ashamed. That does not say that he's not going to allow you to go through trials and tribulations. He's going to allow you to go through things because such things are part of life. But the Lord is going to deliver you out of everything that you go through. God is never going to allow you to go through something in order to disgrace you, in order to make you look bad. Even though when you go through it, you may feel as if it's making you look bad. But God is just setting you up as well as letting folks know, yeah, she going through it. But when I bring her out, it's going to be a testimony to her faith in me, a testimony to how she trusted me despite what she was going through. On that note, encourage somebody to keep trusting the Lord. Matter of fact, get on your feet as I prepare to close and tell five folks, just keep trusting the Lord. Because he got his great goodness laid up for you. Say to your neighbor, God got his great goodness laid up for you. But he's getting ready to drop it. Are you ready for him to drop it? Say to your neighbor, you've been trusting God. You've been fearing him for a long time. And whether you know it or not, you're in the drop zone. And God getting ready to drop his great goodness upon you. Say to your neighbor, I'm getting prepared because I'm in the drop zone. And God is going to bless me with his great goodness. Can I take it a little further? I'm getting ready for God to do what I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have entered into my heart. Say to somebody, God getting ready to do it. He getting ready to blow my mind. I'm getting ready to have what folks say I can't have. I'm getting ready to go where I've never been before. Because God has promised me that if I trust him, he's going to bless me with his great goodness. And you know how God does it. Will you help me say good measure? Press. Shaken and running. You better tell somebody how God does it. He does it good. Press, shaken and running. And I'm done. Let's give God a big, big hand.
Thank you for listening to the A Place of Refuge Productive Living Podcast with Bishop Barry D. Walker. Please stop by our website for more information on our church at www.aplaceofrefugechurch.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly.